So it's wonderful to, is this on? Yeah, we're okay, we're good. It's wonderful to be with you here with you again and to worship with you. Now I mentioned before, we're going to be looking at the phrase, I am rooted, which I think may appear on the screen behind me. Maybe. Now it might seem like a bit of an odd word to use to describe people. We're not trees. We don't stand around all day trying to like dig our toes into the ground, at least I don't. We don't try and be literally rooted. But even so, it's a little bit of an odd word. I think it's an excellent word as well to describe what it's like to be a Christian, to be someone known by God and trusting in him. And to start to explain why, we're going to read a little bit of Bible. I don't know if anyone has their Bibles with them. If you do, do you want to get it out? If not, you've just been told to put your phones away, but if you're going to be looking at the Bible on your phone, feel free to get it out again. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. Would anybody like to come up and read that for us once they found it? I'll give you a minute to find it. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, which is now up on the screen. Stick a hand up if you'd like to come and read that for us. If not, it's okay.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, where you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurable more than all we speak or imagine, according to his power that is at his work within us, to him be glory in all the church and in Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you. So did you all spot that in that passage? It's a letter that Paul, the apostle, is writing to the Ephesian church, and he's reminding them of the riches that God has for them as a church. And it's about halfway through the letter. And if you noticed, it will come up on the screen just now. He said, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. So if Paul uses the word rooted to describe the Christians for whom he's praying, I don't think it's that odd at all. If Paul uses it, I think we can use it to describe ourselves as rooted. But what exactly does it mean to be rooted? I think it means being held firm in who we are. It means being free to be ourselves completely, just as we are made. It means that we can be confident and celebrate the gifts and strengths that each of us has from God. It means that we're held and protected by God, even through things that are difficult or stressful or scary. It means that we are given life and life in all its fullness, life to enjoy and to share and to love in the midst of whatever comes our way. Rootedness means having a foundation for our lives in the love that God has for us, which will appear on the screen also. There we go. Rootedness means having a foundation for our lives in the love that God has for us, a foundation that holds us steady through tricky times and gives us confidence to grow in all times. So a little story for you. A few months ago, back at the start of last Christmas term, I was really struggling to see, which might have not helped those supervisions. That might be why I knocked everything over. We'll go with that. So I was really struggling with my eyesight. It hurt to see, and often it was really hard to focus on my work. Alongside this, I had study deadlines, I had friends moving away, and there was lots of thinking I had to do about the future, which some of you in year 13 and year 12 might be doing now as well. Going to Peru, for example. There was lots of change and challenge coming at me all at once from all different directions. And it was really easy for me to feel quite overwhelmed and worn out by it all. And in that time, in a really tricky time, that's where I learned the importance of being rooted and established in God's love. That's where I learned what being rooted meant. It meant being held steady by God and being given the confidence to keep going and keep being myself in the midst of all of that. I needed a firm foundation to keep me steady and safe and to give me joy and confidence even as things were difficult. And God is good. We've just been singing about how good God is. And he kept reminding me again and again through reading the Bible, through prayer and through friends, that he loves and knows me and that he is with me and that he already knew what would happen next. So I found that firm foundation and that rootedness. And each one of us here tonight can find that as well. Our times of change and challenge will look different, and there will be different challenges at different times in our lives. You might not even feel like there are any big challenges in your life at the moment, and that is really great. But God promises to be with each one of us and bring us more joy in the good times as well as the difficult ones, as we are and become more and more rooted in his love. And so before we look a bit more at what exactly we are rooted in, we're going to break for some discussion time. So if you want to get into pairs and threes where you're sitting, there's going to be a couple of questions that appear up on the board, which are, hang on a second before you start discussing. The questions are, have there been times in your life where you felt like you need something to keep you rooted or hold you steady? Why did you feel like this? And what things or people did you look to keep you rooted? And then a question that you can look to the Bible again. What does Ephesians 3:17 say we are rooted in when we are Christians? So I'll give you maybe 5 minutes to have a chat about those questions in your groups. Okay, if you'd like to be bringing those conversations to a close, even if you've not finished the questions yet, that's fine. If you could be turning back around. Thank you. Okay, so does anybody want to answer? I'll leave the first questions with you. I hope those have been helpful discussions to have and start thinking about where we might need to feel rooted. But the second question, I've answered it a few times already as I've been talking. But what does Ephesians 3:17 say that we are rooted in? God's love, exactly. And that is on the next screen as well. So we are rooted and established in God's love. And that's exactly what we're going to be spending the rest of the evening thinking about. We're going to be thinking about God's love, because that's what it all comes down to in the end, reflecting and knowing and being held by God's love. So if we look back to that Ephesians passage, if you've still got it up on your phones or in your Bibles, there we go, on your phone there, we can see that Paul says those who follow Jesus are already rooted and established in love. Each one of us here, if we know and follow Jesus, are rooted and established. We're held steady and firm by that love. But Paul doesn't leave it there. He goes on to say, I want you, I'm praying for you, I long for you to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So he says that we are already rooted in God's love, but let's keep going. Let's dig those roots down deeper and grasp just what it means to be loved by God. His love, shown to us by Jesus, is really, really wide and long and high and deep. Now, to think about that a little bit more, does anybody know the action song, Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful? You might remember it from children's church or Sunday school. It's a favourite. I can hear that some people know it. Would anybody like to come and sing it for us? Is that someone being volunteered down here? You don't need to know the action. Ella? Okay, we'll leave it. I'm not going to sing it for you, but the lyrics are up on here. And it's very simple. It says, Jesus' love is very wonderful. And it says that 3 times. And then it says, so high, you can't go over it. So low, you can't go under it. so wide you can't go around it. Oh, wonderful love again. And that sounds, I think, a bit like what we've just read in Ephesians. So Paul says he wants God's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep God's love is. And the song says that Jesus' love is so high and so low and so wide that you can't go over, under, or around it. And now this is where the actions come in, and I'm going to need you all to be a little bit enthusiastic, else I'm going to have a new embarrassing story to tell. So we have the action for so high, it's very predictable. You just need to all reach your arms up. Every single one of you, that would be great. You guys at the front, so high you can't go over it. And then for low, you can all lie down, get as low as you can on the floor. So low, you can't go under it. Excellent, that's very low, that's very low. And then so wide, if you sit back up again, sit back up again, so wide, reach your arms out really wide. Try not to hit the person next to you. Excellent, good job. We're going to go through those one more time. So, so high, so low, and so wide. Excellent, very simple, very simple. So what I want you to do, as I keep talking, is when you hear the words high or low or wide, you've already got it over here. This is great. When I say them, to do the action, so be listening out. And that's going to help us structure how we think about God's love. So firstly, on to the next slide, we're going to think about how high God's love is. Excellent job. Excellent job. Let's see if you can keep it up. So God's love is higher than anything else we could ever know. It's better than anything else we could ever experience or hold on to. Think about your favourite food or movie or place. Call to mind the things or memories that make you feel the happiest or most joyful or most loved. Picture your best possession, the thing that you would never ever give up or give to someone else. And then imagine that all these things are at the top of the scale. They are the best things in the world. And now imagine that you had to place God's love onto that scale. God's love would just break it, I think. God's love just breaks the scale. And it completely overwhelms everything else that we prize or hold dear and close to us. It overwhelms all the precious things that we think define us or give us worth or make us who we are. We might hold on to or root ourselves in any number of things because they think they define us or give us joy or security. It might be our possessions. It might be your excellent academic records or sporting achievements or huge social media following or level of popularity or even just how busy or cool or tough or brave we are. We might look to all of these things to root us and hold us firm. And although we are often all those things and have those things, they pale in comparison to the love that God has for us. There's some words from a favourite author of mine. Some of them will appear on the screen. But she, I think, captures it perfectly. She says, "You're enough because you were created by God out of nothing but dust and love, and that's what makes you enough. You're not enough because you're smart enough or pretty enough or working hard enough, although you are, to be sure, all those things. But that's not what makes you enough. What makes you enough is your createdness. God made you. He made you, dreamed you up, spun you out of thin air. That makes you so much more than enough. That makes you a work of art because you are created by a master. Each one of us here is enough because of the love of God. We are enough because we are created out of and rooted in that love, not in anything in this world. And this is good news. This is the best news because God's love wins every time. It is better and it is higher up than anything else we could ever know." We have three people. We have a few people. Excellent. Good remembering. It is better and higher up than anything else we could ever know. There we go. That was almost a Mexican wave. That was amazing. God's love is firmer and more secure than anything else we could try and find our worth in. Our achievements or popularity or number of possessions can change and shift at a moment's notice. With my eyesight, over the summer, it's perfectly fine, and I started the university term, and I just couldn't see very well. And I didn't know where that had come from. It kind of come from the side, but God's love doesn't change like that. God's love remains secure forever and ever. And with roots in him, nothing can move you. There's a song lyric from a song that we'll listen to later that goes, "The things of earth stand next to God like a candle to the sun." Everything we could prize and hold dear is like a flickering candle, no matter how good it is. It's beautiful and giving a little warmth, but in comparison to the sun, absolutely tiny. God's love is this much higher and this much greater. And I, for one, am so glad that this is what we get to be rooted in, that God's love is what holds us steady through our lives. It is utterly beautiful and completely breathtaking. It's like that pearl in the parable that Jesus told. Does anyone know that parable? There was a pearl that was buried in a field, and one day a man discovered the pearl and he rushed home and he sold everything that he had and bought the field because he knew that the pearl was there. God's love is that precious. It's precious enough to cost everything you hold close and priceless enough to give you everything that you could ever need. It's strong enough to root you and hold you steady, whatever comes. But how do we know that this is the height of God's love? This group is doing very well on these, the height of God's love. How do we know that God's love is greater than anything else, like a sun compared to a candle? We know the heights of God's love by the depths that he lowered himself to. Very good. We know the heights of God's love by the depths he lowered himself to, the depths even of death on a cross. And I'm talking, if you all sit up now, you don't have to stay lying down, it's fine. I'm talking, of course, about Jesus. We know how high God's love for us is by seeing how low Jesus became for us. There we go. And we've just had Easter, so I think we'll all be familiar with this story. It's just the end of the Easter week, I think, this week. And I think it would be good for us to turn again in our pairs and threes and tell each other that Easter story. This is what the first Christians did after they experienced this. They were telling each other and reminding each other of the story of Jesus' love. So if you turn in your pairs and threes, I'll give you 5 or 6 minutes to tell each other that story. And if you go on to the next slide, there'll be some prompts to kind of help you tell that to each other. Okay, as you're telling each other the story, imagine yourselves into it. How do you feel when you think about Jesus' love shown by his death on the cross? Maybe you started talking about that question as you told the story. I'm going to read you a part of that Easter story now, right from the middle, that shows us just how low Jesus' love went for us. There we go. And it begins. It's fine if you missed it. It's fine if you missed it. From the middle of the Easter story, they nailed Jesus to the cross. "Father, forgive them," Jesus gasped. "They don't understand what they're doing." "You say you've come to rescue us," people shouted, "but you can't even rescue yourself." But they were wrong. Jesus could have rescued himself. A legion of angels would have flown to his side if he'd called. "If you really were the Son of God, you could just climb down off that cross," they said. And of course they were right. Jesus could have climbed down. Actually, he could have just said a word and made it all stop, like when he healed that little girl and stilled the storm and fed 5,000 people. But Jesus stayed. You see, they didn't understand. It wasn't the nails that kept Jesus there. It was love. Even knowing that he was God himself, mighty and powerful, even knowing that he had even created the people who were nailing him to the cross, even though he held the oceans and stars in his hand, Jesus' love was so great that he stayed. He descended this low into the darkest moment, the dark night of the cross, and he stayed. You guys spotted it. In the lyrics of that song we'll listen to later, Jesus was and chose to be forsaken for the sake of all mankind. It was a dark night and he was forsaken. Forsaken means to be abandoned, left lonely and helpless by the one who's meant to help. But Jesus stayed. The song lyric continues and the story continues. He was forsaken for the sake of all mankind. Salvation is in his blood, which I think is similar to something we sang earlier together. Jesus' humility and forsakenness demonstrate to us the depths that he is willing to go for us. Salvation is in his blood. Freedom and wholeness for us, life for us, cost him his life, his everything. And this demonstrates how low his love goes for us. He was willing to do this even for us. And so this is how we know how high God's love is. Jesus lowered himself to death on the cross. There we go. Jesus' death and his victory over death by his resurrection 3 days later shows us just how much God's love wins every time and how much more amazing it is to be rooted in God's love rather than in anything else. It's a love that gives of itself completely and which splits darkness apart so that all can be flooded with light. It splits death apart so that every single person can have life to the full. And I was reminded of this in a really powerful way about a year ago. I was at church and a friend next to me was singing worship in her own words. And one of her phrases really stuck with me. She was singing to God, just to God, and over again she repeated these four words. You shatter the darkness. And I later wrote about these words and posted my reflection online and she read it and sent me this picture that she'd painted, which will show on the screen. There we go. It shows light shattering the darkness and shining through. And God spoke to me and my friend through each other, through a song of worship and a painting and a written reflection about how his love shatters the darkness. About how God's love, shown to us in Jesus, shatters and breaks open and breaks into every kind of darkness or worry or stress, any fear that we have over anything in our lives. He shatters our worry and fear and gives us confidence to be ourselves instead. And he breaks into any time of sadness or distress and gives us comfort and peace. He tears apart any lies that we believe about ourselves that maybe other people have told us and we've held on to. Lies that we aren't good enough or strong enough or anything enough. And instead, God sings a song of love into each of our hearts. He opens our eyes so that we can see him and receive his love. That each one of us can have deep roots in him, deep roots that hold us steady when storms kind of spin up in our lives, when things come at us from all different angles. You see, the depths Jesus lowered himself to because of his love allows us to know and receive all of this, which we could call the width of his love. There we go. We know how high God's love is because of the depths Jesus lowered himself to. And because of the depths Jesus lowered himself to, we can know the width of God's love in our lives. So let us finish this evening by thinking about the width of God's love with the next slide. Look at that picture on the screen behind me. It's of the world. Imagine trying to stretch your arms around the whole world, trying to hug the whole thing, your fingertips stretching all the way around to touch again. And it's just impossible. Too many arms? Okay. It's just impossible to do that. And this, I think, helps me think about the extent and the width of God's love. The width of his love shown to us so clearly in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It's so wide that we cannot fit our arms around it, however many times you do the action. It breaks into each of our lives and fills up every corner, so much so that we cannot grasp its fullness in our own hands or on our own strength. The only way that we can know God's love is just simply to receive it. And again, isn't that great? There is nothing that any of us could do to make God love us more, and nothing that we could do to make him love us less. He just loves us, and he delights in loving us. And he just asks us to receive his love. All we can do is offer empty hands and ask him to give us his love. The song I've been quoting throughout this talk has one last lyric I'd like to share with you. It goes like this. Behold, I have a friend, the Spirit breathing holy fire within, my ever-present help, speaking truth when I can't find it. And these words, I think, speak about the width of God's love and the fact that the only way we can know it is to receive it. God is with us by his Holy Spirit. God's Spirit sent to be with us because Jesus died for us. God is with us and helping us to receive his love, helping that love to transform our lives into places of confidence where we can be ourselves and be rooted and held steady. You see, God is constantly giving himself to us. He is constantly with us, writing his truth on our hearts and helping us to grasp even just a little bit more how much he loves us. He helps us to live in the knowledge of that love in our whole lives. He helps us to be more and more rooted so that we may have confidence and strength to be ourselves and to keep going even when the going gets tough. So we return with another slide to those words from Ephesians which we heard at the start. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long, we don't have an action for that, and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Did you catch that last bit as well? Paul prays that we might become rooted and established in God's love, so that we may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. In other words, so that God can fill us up with or give us his love and his confidence and help us to trust in him for whatever we need. I think that's a really powerful prayer, and we're going to finish with a prayer in a second and then have a few minutes to respond to what we've heard and what we've been worshipping about tonight. And I'll explain that in a moment. But first, I'm going to pray for us all. Let us pray. You don't need to do the actions in the prayer, by the way. Father, thank you that your love is higher and better than anything else we could hold on to give us hope or worth or security. Thank you that your love is so low that Jesus emptied himself and became like us, lowering himself even to death on a cross. Thank you that by his death we have life. Thank you that your love is so wide that all we can do to grasp it is to receive it. And I pray that you help each of us this evening to receive your love for us a little bit more, that we may become more and more rooted and established in your love, and that we may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. May we know in our lives the confidence and freedom this rootedness in your love gives us. Confidence and freedom to be ourselves no matter what comes our way. In your good and holy name, amen. So for the next, I think, 10 minutes, there's going to be the song I've quoted playing in the background. And you can choose just to sit and listen to that, to reflect on things you've heard tonight, to try and spot those lyrics that I've mentioned. There are some other things you can do as well. Over there, there's a space to reflect on the wonder of God's love. You can see the little tree, which I was amazed didn't get squashed when you were playing the crazy game of dodgeball. But that's over there. You can reflect on the wonder of God's love. Over here is a space to focus on the cross a little bit more. There's a space to pray and listen to God and to help yourself think about how you can remind yourselves of his love. And over here are some Bibles and some Bible passages as well, if you'd like to do that. So it's going to be 10 minutes. You can choose, you can move around, and there'll be music in the background. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time that we've been able to spend together this evening, grasping hold of your love a little bit more. And I pray that each of us leaves here knowing something more of you, and that you continue to speak to us of how much you love us throughout the weeks ahead. Amen.